As you all know, it's Lent, the run-up to Good Friday and Easter. It's a time to try and reflect more closely on Jesus' suffering on the cross, his death and resurrection, and its meaning for us. His wounds have paid my ransom, we sang at the beginning of this service. Now, if someone knows he's going to die soon, he may well use the time he's left to tell his friends and relatives what's really important to him. He may want to make sure that they know this before he passes away. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He had just washed the disciples' feet, and during a meal, he predicted who was going to betray him. You can read about that in John 13. And from what we read in John, it appears that he started sharing some thoughts with his disciples after this meal while they were still laying at the table. In fact, he shared a lot of important teaching with them during that time. It's all captured in John 13 to 17, because John wrote it all down. Well, these five chapters are packed with important teaching. In fact, there's so much in it that you could easily preach on one or two verses at a time. So today, I would like us to look at just two passages from these chapters, the ones that Adam has read for us. We often thank Jesus because he died for us on the cross to carry our sins. We praise and adore him because he's so much greater than we are. And of course, that's true. But the Bible also uses lots of other ways to describe our relationship with Jesus. You could say that the Bible uses lots of images or metaphors for our relationship with him. Now, the word metaphor suggests that what is described does not necessarily capture the full picture. A metaphor is an attempt to describe something as closely to the reality as possible, but the reality is still bigger than that. It's like when you try to describe a beautiful sunset or an amazing trip you've made to the mountains. You may at some point think, well, I can't really put this into words. And that also applies to the metaphor Jesus uses in the passages we've read. They're a way of describing our relationship with him, but they don't capture the full picture, simply because he's so much greater than can be expressed in words. So today, I would like to narrow it down further and look at three keywords from the passages we've read from John 14 and 15. Three words that are metaphors for our relationship with Jesus. These words are orphans, servants, and friends. So the first one, orphans. In John 14, verse 18, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." In a way, you could say it's a bit odd that Jesus calls his disciples orphans. They were grown men. But over the past 3 years, they have lived with him. They have walked with him. He's almost become like a father to them. And Jesus wants to prepare them for a major shift in their relationship because he's going to die. And that will be such a big change that it may well feel like becoming an orphan to the disciples. But Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." He tells them that the Holy Spirit will come and help them after his death. Look at verses 16 and 17. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." I'm sure that to an extent we can all identify with the disciples. We all know of changes in our relationships with a loved one. Perhaps some of us became an orphan at a young age. Perhaps you had to start nursing your partner after many years of marriage. You were equals, but in a way, they're no longer. Or you had started looking after your mother or father when they got elderly. That changed your relationship with them. Because when you were little, they looked after you, and now you're looking after them. Another example could be when your children become adults. You still care for them, but not in the same way as when they were young. It's a shift in your relationship with them. And some of these shifts, these changes, are difficult to negotiate. If you think of the word orphan, you know, it implies trauma, bereavement, feeling of loneliness, abandonment. The disciples probably knew something was up, but they may not have understood yet that Jesus' death was near, despite what he had already told them in the weeks before. So he's still trying to prepare them by saying, yes, I am leaving this earth, but I won't let you alone. I won't leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can communicate with Jesus and with the Father. And of course, you could say a lot more about that, but for this sermon, I'll leave it here. So that's the first word. We're not orphans. And then the second and third keywords, they actually belong together. If you look at John 15, Jesus speaks of a shift from servants to friends. We often speak of our faith as serving God and Jesus, serving other people in his name. It's a word we use a lot as Christians, and it's an image that the Bible uses regularly. But here, Jesus seems to turn the tables. He presents us with a totally different image, a different metaphor. He tells us we're his friends and no longer his servants. A servant in Jesus' time was someone who was unequal to his master. He was voiceless. The Greek word for servant can also be translated as slave. But what does Jesus say? You are my friend. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. That's quite something. Jesus told his disciples everything he learned from his Father. He wants to tell us everything he learned from his Father. That's almost beyond comprehension. And note that Jesus didn't say that he is our friend, like we sometimes sing and sang this morning. He says that we are his friend. So when we think of the difference between a servant and a friend, we can think of words like friendship means that you're included, welcomed, trusted. There's companionship, fun and laughter. You're doing things together. In difficult times, you cry together. You support each other. Friendship implies closeness, having a voice. And to think that Jesus wants us as his friends, that's quite extraordinary, to be allowed to have such a close relationship with him. And that he seems to need us as his friend. When we compare the word friend with the words orphan and servant, there's also the difference that friendship has an element of choice. You choose to be someone's friend, but you don't choose to become an orphan or a servant. That's something that happens to you. Having said that, there are all sorts of friendships, and in our friendships, the two parties aren't always fully equal. When I was younger, I had some friends whom I needed more than they needed me. Now I'm older, I have a friend who is quite a lot younger, and she needs me more than I need her, but I still consider her a friend. So what other words could we use for our closest human friends? We can think of words like faithful, honest, loving, caring, prepared to help. In a good friendship, you're able to give and receive love. We can be faithful to Jesus. We can be honest with him. We can love him. We care for him, help him. But that's where the image or metaphor of friends has its limitation. We're not fully equal with Jesus, far from it. And yet, he calls us his friends. He wants a close relationship with us. But there's another reason why our friendship with Jesus is not fully equal. There's a caveat, if you like. You may have noticed that the verse I quoted earlier doesn't say, or doesn't just say, that Jesus calls us his friends. You may have noticed that I skipped a few words. Jesus didn't just say, you are my friend. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. He mentioned something similar in chapter 14, verse 15, where he said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. In a friendship with another human being, you wouldn't expect your friend to give you commands and your friend to expect you to obey, because then it's no longer equal. I believe there's another reason why we shouldn't take the metaphor of friendship with Jesus too far. I think Jesus used that word to tell us that he wants a close, confidential relationship with us, that he wants us to be close to him. But there's still a difference between him and us. He and I are not equal. He is God. He is above us because he is sinless and we are not. He is above us because he needs us to obey his commands. And we can't require something like that from him. He is above us because he is God and we are fallible humans. But despite that, he wants to reveal to us all he learned from the Father. Despite that, he wants us to be his friend. And the main thing he wants us to do, so writes John, is to remain in his love, which we do if we obey his commands. Now, I just want to have a look at the verse that I was reading, that Adam was reading here. Because that's what he said. I want you to remain in my love. Other than that, he doesn't really specify here what commands he has in mind. But I can imagine we can think of the Sermon on the Mount, the commandment to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. Now, I was inspired for this sermon by an online Lent retreat I'm taking part in, organized by the Northumbria community. And this week, one of the other participants made the comparison with Jesus as our friend, or we as Jesus's friends, and the relationship she had had with a manager at work. She had a very good relationship with him. He was a good manager. And the main reason was that he had stood up for her in a difficult situation. And as a result, she was willing to go the extra mile for him. He was still her manager, i.e. they weren't fully equal. And yet there was an element of friendship in their relationship. And I can imagine it's the same between Jesus and us, or it can be the same. Because of all he has done for us, we are hopefully willing to do what he asks, willing to obey. And he wants to be our friend. He wants us as his friend. You see, I'm already again saying that he wants to be our friend. But actually what it says here is that he wants us to be our friend. But we're so used to seeing Jesus as our friend that it's almost difficult to put it the other way around. Now, just going back to the concept of friendship. If you stray too far from what's important to your friend, you create a distance. If we stray too far from what's important to Jesus, we create a distance. We will be hurt if we distance ourselves from him or disobey him. And in that sense, you could say he needs us. It's about knowing what matters to the other person. And we can learn what matters to Jesus from the Bible. There we can read how he wants us to live, how we can obey his commands, what these commands are. An impossible task? Well, think of it like this. Friends usually share the same values. That's what brings them together. If we and Jesus share the same values, we'll want to do the same thing. If we trust him and love him, we'll be happy to obey, to do what he asks us. Jesus wants to be close to us, which is why he used the word friends. Perhaps it's something to ponder on in the coming week. What kind of relationship do I have with God, with Jesus? How would you describe it? Do you see yourself as his friend? And if so, what does that mean for you, that Jesus wants you to be his friend? Or perhaps you can ask yourself, can I become a closer friend than I am at the moment? And how? Allow yourself some time, maybe now, before we sing the final hymn, consider this. So maybe we can just have a minute or so to think about that before we sing the final hymn. Maybe we can sing the final hymn, Richard.